Hello and welcome to the UX Hustle podcast. Today, I'm so excited because I have with me Riley June. Riley is an intuition master coach and business coach for spiritual entrepreneurs. Riley's heart and soul go into her daily devotion and commitment to serve her community, family, and self. Her values are rooted in truth, trust, and integrity, and is always open to connection and support others in their self-expansion journeys. Riley truly believes collaboration and supporting the next soul in line is what we came here to experience together. In this episode, I talk with Riley June about her business. I connected with her through a business mastermind I was a part of in 2021, and we talk about the technical gap in spiritual entrepreneurship and the challenges that her clients face in connecting their tech, staying organized, and maintaining a positive user experience while pivoting their spiritual businesses online. I hope you enjoy this episode. Hello and welcome to the UX Hustle podcast. I'm your host, Amanda Worthington. The goal of UX Hustle is to help UX designers design the career they love, maximizing the benefit of this multifaceted industry and strong community. We talk about what's really going on in UX and what it's like working in it, and interview people that are actively navigating their careers and UX. We don't expect to have all the answers, but we do keep searching, keep listening, and learning. Because at the end of the day, you are the user of your career. Well, welcome to the UX Hustle podcast. I'm so excited because today I have with me Riley June. Riley, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. It is such a joy to be here. I'm glad that we sorted all of this out.
We were having minor technical issues before. It's totally fine. It wouldn't be a podcast without it, right? Especially a UX tech related podcast.
Yeah, it is. It's a part of the experience, you know?
So Riley, can you tell everybody a little bit about what you do and how you got here?
Yeah, absolutely. So my name is Riley June. I'm an intuition master coach and spiritual activator. My main focus is in supporting entrepreneurs, spiritual entrepreneurs specifically, in aligning their business to their mission. So that desire that started them to want to show up in the world and how to scale that and be impactful throughout that experience. The more I continue to dig my heels into this, the more that I realize that the spiritual industry is really missing the work that you do in this world. I guess that's what I would call that. So I really love the elements of self-healing, but really my passion moving forward, especially in 2022, is in supporting the spiritual entrepreneur and creating that user-friendly experience as they grow and expand their impact in this world.
That's awesome. I know it's so funny because I'm curious from your perspective, what are some of the challenges you face with connecting the spiritual space with that? How do we think about the technical side and the user experience, the customer experience that we provide our customers and our businesses?
Yeah, that's a great question. The more and more that I continue to go through my own personal journey, the more I realize that the user experience really wasn't there for energy work. You know, it was either you're in person with somebody, which is impactful, but now that we're all online, showing up and having that same impact with your customer, your client, or even just your audience, period, requires technology. And it's something that we really truly can't overlook. But I continue to find that a lot of people either struggled with it, didn't want to take the time to learn it. And they were fed this idea that if you sit and you meditate on it, the people will come. But when we have algorithms that come into place, that's not the case at all. And you learn that when you open your mind to, okay, well, how can I create a better experience? And how do I actually get people in the door, which is where ClickFunnels come in, or, you know, integrating different types of tech to just even support the back end of your business. And so the more I continue to come up against these challenges with my own growth and scalability, the more I continue to find the relevance for technology, especially in our growing and expanding world.
So it's so interesting that we're having this conversation today because I actually journaled this morning. The prompt was about what support is going to be the most impactful and the most necessary to support your plans for 2022. And what came up for me was this technical side of the systems and the ads in the background and all of these things that you set up in the background of a business that actually supports you long term. Yeah. And I hadn't thought of it that way, of that all of these systems in place that run in the background without me actively needing to, you know, have everything go and like connect people to this podcast, to the other content that I have, is really helping me show up more when I do create those pieces of content, when I do show up and have an interview with you, of those things are supporting me.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with that. It was one of those things where you go into the entrepreneurial world and you realize very quickly, you got to invest. You got to invest in the people who are going to teach you how to do the things that you have no idea what you're doing. Otherwise, it's just going to take you even longer to figure it out. But when you talk about that long-term sustainability, that was the thing that I found very frustrating, is that there was nobody who had dipped their feet in the other side of that actual tangible masculine physical business aspect of it, especially in the online world. I think we talked about this a bit yesterday. It's like, it's one thing to open up a brick and mortar. You have something that people can come to instantly. There's the door, there's the banners, there's the products, they can walk in your shop. And online, you're in a whole different ball game, if you will, because there's how many other online shops people can just click in and out of. And with our attention span going down severely, it's one of those things where it's like, how do you actually keep people engaged with your stuff? And in the spiritual world, like, well, really any industry, there's more people doing exactly what you're doing. And so I continued to get very frustrated because nobody was teaching systems. Nobody was teaching long-term growth strategies and hacks. Nobody was teaching you the technological side of it. Nobody was teaching you how to even properly map out your company and put in like operating systems so that if you were to hire on somebody else to support you in that growth, you didn't even know where to start with them. And it became very overwhelming to me very quickly because, like I said, nobody was teaching it. And it wasn't until I ventured to the other side of this industry, that is the tech, and finding how to do the systems and the people to support you in that, where I realized that, at least in the industry I'm in, that's something that severely lacks. And you can try and do it on your own, but it's only going to cause you so much more of a headache. And it's really, truly just not worth it. Just find the person, put the systems in place, and then you can actually show up the way that you want to. It's not something that you have to always be on Instagram Live, on the stories, making all the posts. You have those things in the background that are supporting you to be able to have more of that time freedom that ultimately entrepreneurship offers you.
That's really interesting the way you compared an online business to a physical business too, because the investment and the cost and the risk is so much different in a physical space. Right off the bat, it's a big investment for rent, for filling the space, for getting foot traffic into your physical business. But from an online business perspective, it's actually very accessible to get started.
Yeah.
But because it's so accessible to get started, it's so easy to forget those long-term sustainability systems that you need in place in order to keep it going.
Yeah, that's a really great point. That's the thing that I found, at least, well, I'll speak to my own experience first. So the thing that really drew me to an online business was my husband has gone through a multitude of heart surgeries to the point where he can't physically work a job. And so for us, running an online business was like a sure foot in and an easy way out. I'm like, okay, well, I'm in great health, so I'll figure this out. And so I started with MLM companies. And in those cases, you get the products done for you. You just have to talk about them. And I thought, well, this is perfect. That's amazing. Like, that's exactly what I'm looking for. You get the instant gratification aspect with the products. And then you don't have to worry about keeping stock and having that initial big investment at the beginning of it. You know, social media is free, so I'll just show up and do lives. And even in that, I continue to find that there wasn't even proper training in terms of, okay, how, like, what do you do? You have these products, you have this company brand, and you have yourself. What do you do with that? And then I continued to find that I was still up against, where do I put this? How do I distribute this? How do I break it down and put it on a multitude of platforms? And how do I manage my time in that? And then I continued to come up against, okay, well, if I'm going to do clients, how am I running my scheduling? How am I running my client management? What are my CRM systems like? And in the spiritual industry, going back to this, it's when I started doing readings, I came away from the MLM because I was so frustrated with just the lack of training in the uplines, which I know is in every case, but I know it's in a lot of cases. It's why a lot of people do give up on MLMs, though the dynamic of them can be very beneficial to people. However, in the spiritual industry, it was kind of the same thing. You can go to a mystic store and buy a $30 deck of cards and show up on Instagram lives and charge $30. But if you actually want that time freedom and the financial freedom you're seeking, there is so much more that goes into it. And I think that people really get lost in the fact that just because it's easy to start doesn't mean the time, attention, and investment isn't equally, if not more relevant than before. Because like you said, in your comparison, you, when you open a brick and mortar, you have that initial stock. You're putting out tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of dollars to get everything you need to make sure that your business is going to at least even present itself. You haven't even touched advertising. And with an online business, though the products aren't necessarily something you have to keep in stock, especially if you're the service or you offer digital courses, it still requires an investment to figure out how to do all that other stuff. When you have clients, upwards of hundreds or thousands of clients, how are you managing them? How are you supporting them? How are you retargeting them? And that's something that for me was very frustrating because, well, I just, nobody was teaching it. And then you go and you invest even more money into because now you have to go to the other side of it and figure it out.
That's so true. And for those that don't know, MLM is multi-level marketing. And an example, I mean, is any of, what are some good examples? There are some fitness, multi-level Beachbody. Marketing. Yeah. Beachbody. There are some, like, there's a lot in the health and wellness space. Essential Oils has a few companies that do that also.
Makeup.
Yeah. Like Mary Kay and makeup and jewelry and things like that. But it's interesting that marketing is in the title of that too, because a big part of what you're doing is focusing on the sales side of it. And so it's, how do I get those sales? By showing up on social media, by setting up email marketing campaigns and things like that. Yeah. But it's less focused on the customer experience, it sounds like, from your experience. And that we start with focusing on sales, and then it's, how do we scale those sales and get across multiple channels in different markets? And then it's once we're focusing more on those repeat customers and the customer experience, that's when we start looking at things from that customer side.
Yeah.
And that long-term sustainability side. So how do you help your clients achieve that?
That's a great question. So in terms of teaching and training spiritual entrepreneurs, I always start with your back-end stuff, even if you're just getting started. So we really map out, okay, what, for what you offer right now, which typically for most people who are just getting started, it's readings. So they're doing card readings or energy healings. It's like, okay, where are you storing your clients' information? Because that was another thing, is privacy protection for people's information. You know, we live in a world where Facebook's getting blasted every year, it seems, for selling off their data banks. And that's something that a lot of people don't realize, is a lot of these companies that store your information, like Instagram, TikTok, is they can actually sell off the information that they receive from you because you agreed to their terms, which is in their terms, but nobody reads them. And they get to flip that and make even more of a profit from it. And so when you're doing things ethically, what are you doing to protect your client's information? Are you jotting it down in a book to then just store for anybody in your house to read? And I mean, you know, you can think of that and be like, okay, well, that's not that big of a deal. But at the same time, it comes back to integrity, right? You want to make sure that wherever your client's information is being put, especially if you're collecting phone numbers and email addresses, you know, that is confidential. That is something that's not just available for being on display. And so getting and paying for the online scheduling systems that stored it, something that is password protected, it can't just be accessed by anyone, was really important. And then having people go through the proper channels. So, you know, it's one thing to log people's information in the calendar, but it's like how, you know, as the person who's now running that, that's going to be so much more complicated for you because you're having to consult with your book that you've written down and consult with another place where you're keeping all their information. So let's consolidate all this information into one privately protected space. And so I go through with them on just honestly the integrity side of it. And then we build out then what it looks like for, okay, so you do readings. What does that system look like? Because in everything you do, it's always duplicatable. There you go. Duplicatable. So, you know, you watch anyone who does online coaching, eventually they're selling their templates. They're selling their five-step process. They're selling their email templates. It's like, okay, so as a reader, as a healer, as a psychic, what is your process? How can you turn that into a training in the future? Because you do inevitably want to be hands-off. So at some point you're going to become the teacher, right? Or you're going to list your stuff through Etsy. So it's figuring out the processes and the operations of how you're already doing things and then building out from there, whether that's the mindset work, the embodiment work, deeper energy development work. And so that becomes then the personal aspect, but you can't have confidence in what you're doing until you have the foundation of understanding what you're doing. And that's really where systems and tech and the masculine side of action really comes into place.
And I just want to point out for our listeners that what you're doing is a lot of what we do with our products. Like you're creating a product. You're observing and researching, you know, what is the workflow that your client is going through in real life, in real time, of that on paper, on book, off book, on book, like how, what their process is and observing that and creating a repeatable system, which is really a product, and documenting that so that it's a real tangible thing and design. Is repeatable, that is a system, that is something that they can continuously use and save some of that brain space, you know, to think that every time you show up to something, you're reinventing the wheel of how I'm approaching this conversation or how I show up versus having a document, having a system in place, a procedure. This is where we start. This is where we, you know, we go through these steps and this is where we end. And this is how we follow up so that you're not, you don't have all those tabs open in your head.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it. And I never thought of it like that. So I appreciate that reflection back because that was the thing that like I kind of spoke to in the beginning was the thing I struggled with the most was nobody was teaching this stuff. So I had to basically figure out, okay, what do I need? And we always start there. What do I need? What am I missing? What do I feel like I'm missing? And okay, so it's these 10 things. What's number one? Where do I start with that? And I'm someone who never really, I guess never used to identify myself as very analytical or logical because I'm very impulsive in a lot of ways, but it also worked to my benefit because when I find things aren't working for me, I'm also not going to sit there and wallow in it and be like, oh, woe is me. How do I do this? It's not working for me. I'm like, okay, but what do I actually need? And then out of those 10 things, where do I start? And with the spiritual industry, it's very much all about this feminine flow, creativity, you know, finding your way, trusting the process, praying. And I don't say it like that to mock it because there is so much value and you can't have one without the other. But when you're building something, like literally just getting started, even in that point where you're ready to take off, because I built a $100,000 business with absolutely none of this in place. I was using a planner to write all my stuff down and taking notes of everybody's information on a Google spreadsheet. And I realized very quickly that if I have 5 to 20 people enroll in something a day, I'm going to be sitting in front of that spreadsheet all day. And so I was like, how do I make this more cohesive? Oh, an online scheduling system. Okay, well, that helps. Okay, so I want a platform now to be able to put everything in one, capture the email. So I'm not going over to MailChimp here, and I'm not going to the online scheduling system here, and I'm not going over here. It's like, okay, so Kajabi, I'll do the all in one. Perfect. So you inevitably build up your investment, but you do invest in your company, right? And you get to the point where, okay, I need more time. Let's hire out a VA. Well, what does that look like? How do I navigate that? How do I do that? How do I run a team? How do I know even what to delegate? Oh, I need to create an operating systems. And so especially with the spiritual industry, I find that people don't think of this until they're either in that position where they've really struggled to make the $100,000, $200,000, and they're tired of doing 700 things. And they're like, how do I get to one spot? How do I bring this in? And then they come over to your side and they look at what you guys do. But I was in the position where I didn't even know this existed. I didn't know what you do existed. And so I just had to start filling in my own thing. And when I started teaching to spiritual entrepreneurs, I was like, okay, let's go back to the masculine principles. That is your foundation, your brick and mortar. You opened your door, you cut the tape. Okay, now we get to stock the shelves. What does that look like?
Yes. And just to underline, like, that difference between that masculine and feminine energy is typically when we think of masculine energy, it's more that like doing energy and like the checking off the check boxes kind of process. And the feminine side is more of that intuitive, creative side that is more flowy. Like, flowy is a great word for that. It's not, you know, checking off the boxes. It's okay, what's the next thing that sounds exciting and fun? And in order to support that creative side, you need some of those systems. I know I've heard a lot of, you know, high-end entrepreneurs and motivational speakers talk about your morning routine. And that's part of that, giving yourself that routine. So then you have that stability. So then you can go outside of yourself and pursue other areas that are exciting. Or in like the extreme example, what was it? Steve Jobs wearing the same thing every single day of avoiding that decision fatigue so that, you know, he was able to make those decisions, not on what clothes he was going to wear that day, but on bigger picture things.
I've never heard that example, but I can understand the value in it, because it's really about, when it comes to your business online, it's about how can I mitigate having to make more and more complicated decisions? How can I really just rein this in and, well, create a system? And so, yeah, when you speak to daily routines, it's very much a part of that connection piece with the spiritual industry. It's, if you don't have your daily routine set out, whether that's 5 minutes of something or four different things that you do, whatever that looks like, you're going to get up and you're going to be running around with your head cut off essentially, because you're trying to figure everything out. And that's what I continued to find myself up against, is like, I was getting up, I was doing my morning routine, but then when it came to showing up online and figuring out how to put everybody everywhere and all the pieces, even the things that I wanted to bring in, I was just started with readings. And then I wanted to bring in digital courses and products so that, again, I didn't have to always be there showing up, speaking about all things. I could say, hey guys, I put it all in one place. Here's the product. It's there for you if you want it. And so then even putting my knowledge in a memory bank, if you will, was another big piece to that. And that's something that when it comes to scalability, you do have to do things like that, because otherwise you're constantly relying on you and your audience is constantly relying on you to share the same thing over and over and over again, when you could, like I said, put it in a digital memory bank and just be like, hey guys, I got it here for you. Go check it out.
And I think you make a great point around, because I think when I thought about user experience design and creating and iterating on and improving digital products, it feels like there's a lot of movement. if that makes sense, from like, this was the old way we were doing things. How can we make it way better through, you know, doing research and coming up with new ideas and new ways of solving those problems? And I think something that I'm picking up on the way you're talking about this is sometimes those changes can be small.
Yeah.
Of it's just documenting and it's just streamlining the systems that you already have can make a huge impact versus feeling you have to totally reinvent and totally improve every aspect of a product, of a business, of an area within your business.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with that.
And that's such a relief.
It definitely made my work so much easier the more I started putting systems in place. It helped me to understand my workflow. It helped me to understand client management. It helped me to understand how many more clients I could even take on, because that was another thing. You know, you start to evolve into what you're doing and you realize, okay, well, I have something here that other people can learn from. Let's bring in coaching. But that doesn't mean that just because you bring in coaching at $5,000 a month, that you can now take on 30 clients and all the ones that you're already working with. What does that look like? And so those systems really supported me in understanding, okay, so now let's look at the systems of my time and time management. Because it's one thing to show up every day on a live and, you know, bring in 4 or 5 readings. But then when I'm doing coaching, well, not only are you showing up with that live, but then there's probably some kind of back-end support you're doing with them as well. And so that's going to take time from something else. And so what are you doing to support you in, ultimately a business is all about revenue growth, but in the same context, it's also about the customer experience. So if the customer's not happy and your revenue is growing, eventually your revenue is going to decline because people are going to see that they're not actually getting that value that you feel that you're offering and delivering. And it's easy to get run away, if you will, on the income opportunities in doing anything online, because even running a store online, that's something that I'm navigating this year, is how to bring in branded products, clothing line. And so even within that, it's not just, I'm going to slap these clothes online and people are just going to buy them. What if their shipping gets delayed? What if they don't get the product? What if they, you know, it's not the fit that they thought that it would be? What if there's a problem with it? What are you doing to support your client in navigating these experiences as well? Because the one thing that I've learned from even purchasing my own products, especially online stores where you can't go and just try things on anymore, is that if you don't have an airtight customer service where they're walking away almost with the saying that the customers are always right, you're not going to stand out very well in this space, especially when there's, you know, 300,000 other people offering white labeled branded products online as well.
That's such a good point. Cause I think it's like in user experience design, a lot of the time I hear, you know, how do we speak to that business side, that return on investment, that connecting what we do for the customers and relating it to that bottom line.
Yeah.
In order to make it more tangible to our business stakeholders of, you know, by not getting after, by not creating this new product, or by not improving the current customer experience, we're losing out on this amount of revenue. And that's a great way to make a case for improving the user experience, improving the systems that are in place to make it more reliable, more seamless, whatever that solution is or that transformation is.
Yeah.
But it's also, I had an interesting conversation with a UX designer the other day about how, you know, when we're as business owners, we think about both all the time. Of I want to make sure I'm creating a great user experience, but also I do really care about having enough revenue.
Yeah, absolutely. Like,
I need to, because we need to keep the lights on.
Yep.
And part of the luxury, I'm not going to say luxury. Part of the benefit of having a user experience department on your team,
yeah,
in your business, in your company, is that they and we as user experience designers get to focus on that user experience.
Yeah.
We get to think about the blue sky opportunities that will make an experience better.
Yeah.
And advocate for those.
Yeah, exactly. And
without a lot of that pressure of how are we going to make this profitable and how are we going to get enough revenue out of this venture in order to make it happen?
Yeah.
Like exactly. Part of our job is to pull on how do we make a great user experience and let and listen and work together with our business partners on that business side of understanding that and being able to communicate with other people what those business elements are. But also at the end of the day, it's not our responsibility to make the decision. It's our responsibility to advocate for the users, for what the best experience would be. And then let our development partners tell us if it's feasible or not and work with them on that.
Yeah.
Or work with our business partners that are like, this isn't going to make enough money and, you know, and work with them on that. But it is a little bit different as business owners because we wear so many hats.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true.
Hmm.
I think even just speaking to what you said as well is that your customer is your bottom line. If your customers aren't happy, your bottom line's not going to get any better. And I watched my mom run a successful clothing business, brick and mortar business for, I think they had it for 11 or 12 years of my life. And it wasn't when I was young. I think she opened it when I was 9 and she closed it when I was about 20 or 21, something like that. So I was, you know, I would go there and I would help her and I would take payments from customers. And I was a part of some of the shipping, ordering part of that, the inventory. And so I kind of got a taste for what it actually takes to run a physical business. And so when I opened up mine, I even went to school for business and business administration and accounting for 2 years. And so I had this knowledge of it's not just, you know, oh, one size fits all. It really does come down to what you offer, how you offer it, what your clientele looks like. And those systems do truly support it. It's the same thing with a brick and mortar store. And I'll use retail, for example. You have to have a space where you're logging all your inventory. You have to have a space where you're logging all the GST transactions and the different vendors. You have to have the space where, or even the people supporting you in terms of, you know, renewals on those inventories. And that's even just like 10% of the inventory process. That's not even including when your customers come in the door, the aesthetics, you know, with an online business, what does the aesthetics of your brand look like when they show up on your website or even on your Instagram page, if that's where you're at this point. And I think that a lot of these things really get overlooked, especially for those who are just getting started, but I'll speak to the spiritual industry because when I was doing my own market research, it was about understanding what industry am I even in? What product am I even offering? So, okay, I know I do readings, but what does that even look like on a bigger scale? And so you do have to go through those channels of doing that research and really valuing the customers that are coming in. You know, gratitude is key in everything, not only in your personal life, but as well as when you show up and you share that with your customers. There's nothing more exciting to a customer than knowing that you're equally excited that they're in your store. And so I always treated my online business like that. And I think what really supported me in being able to create growth and scalability was because I had that background knowledge. And so I was able to always zoom out. So it wasn't just, okay, I'm doing readings. It's fun and airy and fairy. And, you know, we're going to do guidance and it's so great. And it was, and it worked. And I got like my whole business has been organic and based on referrals, which is incredible. But when it came to volume, I wasn't going to be able to sustain that. And that's where I really had to sit down and look at, okay, what's the bigger picture here? And how do we make this way more cohesive? Because I will burn myself out way faster than I could ever get to $500,000. And it really came down to, you know, what does it look like being a customer in my world? What is their experience? How do they interact with me? You know, I have a 72-hour notice policy. So if you email me, you're always going to get a response within 72 hours. If you have an issue, it's always going to be resolved on our end within 72 hours, because I find that the longer it goes, the more people get mad. And, you know, I had it at 24 hours at first, but then I was like, okay, sometimes it's the weekend. Like, I can't always just be in here doing customer, you know, so 72 hours, we will have a resolution or be working with you to figure it out. And that's really helped me in people coming back and saying, wow, you know, this is the fastest somebody's ever gotten back to me. Thank you so much. And whatever that issue was.
Yes. And setting expectations, right? Yes. Of this is what to expect from me. Yeah. So that that's clear, so that people aren't getting upset over, you know, that time period, because you let them know what the expectation was. And I think you bring up such a great point of understanding your industry.
Yeah.
Of all the things that you talked about in retail, like, those are all things that if you're working within a retail industry and you're on a user experience team, you're on a product team, figuring out the products that you need to use and iterate on, those are all things that you should understand, that you at least need to be aware of are systems and processes and things that business cares about.
Yeah, exactly.
And sometimes we forget about that, of how important the real things are that make up a business, that we need to take and incorporate into digital products, into systems, into whatever's in place for those businesses to be able to run.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I have one more question for you.
Yes.
Okay. All right. This is a fun one. So, how do I phrase this? So you're on an elevator. You might've heard this before. Now I realize you've heard this before. From if you listen to Lori Harder's podcast. So you're in an elevator and someone else comes on. It's a designer. In this case, it's a UX designer. And they turn and ask you, how can I be happy in my career? What do you tell them?
You got to do what fulfills you. If you're in it for the money, it's not enough. You have to learn to tailor your experiences based on your desires and your passions. Otherwise, you're just going to burn yourself out and honestly fall into the category of being like everybody else. And the more and more that I get into my own experience in this world of online growth, ascension, even in our world, growing as who we are in this world today, it's not about doing the same thing, though there are similarities. It really is about just you finding your own voice and truth and then making something out of that.
Whoo, that was a good one. That was so good. Thank you, Riley.
Yeah,
absolutely. That's a great note to end on. So where can everybody find you? Find you on Instagram, shout you out.
Yeah, so you can find me on all platforms, Riley, R-Y-L-E-E, June is in the month, .ca. So I'm on TikTok, Instagram, my website is that. The only difference is my Facebook, which I don't normally use. So just come hang out with me on Instagram. And if you're interested in all things energy and spirituality, that's where I jam out the most and have lots of different tips and tricks and tools and lives and all the things to be a part of. Come hang out, come say hi. And I'd love to hear your takeaways from this episode as well.
Awesome. And then you have a podcast.
I do. So I also have a podcast called The Riley June Show. So that's where I share a lot more for spiritual entrepreneurs and just how to grow and evolve their impact in this world.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, make sure to tag me and tag Riley with any of your takeaways from this. And thank you so much for being on the podcast today, Riley.
Thank you so much for having me. This was wonderful.
Thank you for listening to the UX Hustle podcast. To continue these conversations, you can follow us on Instagram at the UX Hustle or join our Slack community through the link in our show notes. If you love this episode, please write a review and subscribe.